Welcome back to Podcast Recovery, everyone. We're your hosts, David O.
And Carly R.
I
don't know. Well, because you said we are your hosts, so.
I did. That was confusing. I'm more of the host. I'm just sort of like Jerry Springer here to wrangle in these three women during this.
Are we getting paid then?
Absolutely not. You will get paid nothing.
Don't people get paid on Jerry Springer?
David's our chaperone.
Yeah, like $50.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Chaperone. I'll give you a hug. That's your payment.
Aw, thank
you. Okay. Today we are joined by three lovely ladies. To my left is Allie B.
Mm-hmm.
And then directly across from me, Carly R., who is technically slash a host slash... Okay, no, she's just panel. And then to my right, Jessica M. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, David.
Carly, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Allie, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you, David?
I'm doing pretty well. And just to like boil everything down, how much clean time do you have?
I will be clean 11 years in January. So what's that? 10 years and 10 months.
Oh, and you tried to pull off being 23.
10. Maybe I got clean when I was 13.
Okay, that's fair. That's true. Carly?
3 years and 9 months.
Fantastic. And Jessica?
6.5 years.
6.5 years. Amazing. So that's 19 years of women's recovery sitting at this table. That's pretty impressive. It's very impressive. All right. Well, today is sort of the rebuttal or mirror image of a men's wrap we did a few weeks ago. And it's going to be based on relationships, but obviously from the female perspective. And so I'm going to try and stick with the same bullet points. And then once I introduce them to you guys, I'm just going to let you guys free reign. So the first one is... about like human connection, because they say that addiction is really about isolation and then recovery is about human connection. So how important is it to form those early relationships in recovery to really jumpstart yourself into a new way of life? Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
All right.
Do we need to like introduce ourselves now? No.
No.
Okay. All right.
You all don't sound that similar.
Leave them guessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like it. Okay. So for me, like they were pretty important because, you know, you isolate and you withdraw from people, society, normalcy, any type of, I don't know, routine kind of thing. Like I was just so feral when I came in the rooms and I didn't know. I mean, basically we are, right? Like I had no idea. Like I couldn't remember social norms, social cues, right? Like when people were annoyed.
Just the word used is just feral.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's true. It's true.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah, it's true. So like learning how to interact with people again on a normal level was so important. And also like following the protocol or the standards of meetings, right? Like we come into these rooms and like nobody knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. What's the protocol? Who's who? What's what? Why are we here? What to share? When to share? When not to share? Not to share three times. Mm-hmm. You know, so like you kind of have like knowing someone was there to like welcome me and kind of like guide me, I guess, on the journey in the beginning is comforting. And like that whole never alone, you know, never again, that was also really comforting because I was just tired of being by myself. I mean, it like I was like my own, the only friend, family, like person that I had left towards the end. And that shit is lonely, you know, it'll drive you insane. So like learning how to build healthy relationships too, because I had relationships with people prior to getting clean, but they were all so unhealthy and so manipulative and just all of those horrible things that like I had no idea how to be a friend, a daughter, you know, like a girlfriend, a wife, and none of those things. So very important.
Keep going.
Me?
Yeah, forming those early relationships and recovery.
Yeah, I'm not really liking this topic today because I'm still isolating, even in recovery.
Ooh.
not all the time, but currently where I'm at right now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was explaining last night, like I was in a room full of people and still felt alone.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens a lot, more than I would like to admit that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And like I guess it's almost like the same as even early recovery. Like sometimes I'm like where I'm at with myself and how comfortable I am keeps me from making connections with people that I want to have a relationship with.
Yeah.
It hasn't gotten any easier for me, I don't think.
Hmm.
I don't know. Like I guess in early recovery it was just like I had nothing else to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So going in and trying to meet new people and form new relationships, it was awkward, but it was like, okay, it's either you do it or you don't. I have nothing else to lose. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out type of deal.
Yeah.
And now I guess I feel like it's like my only option. Like I'm in recovery and it's either like I have to build relationships with these people or I have no one. Mm. Yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at right now.
All right. What about you?
So like Allie was saying,
don't pull down
going from transactional relationships into like figuring out what it means to have relationships was just a lot of observing, you know, like I would go into meetings and be like, how do humans do stuff? Like, and I would just like sit back because like,
like how you basically just took your like own humanity away. Like Allie's feral over here and Jessica's not even human.
But that's the vibe, right? That's like the reality. I came in and didn't know. And I only know this in hindsight. When I was in it, I was just like, this is great, you know. But yeah, just so far away from social norms, so mm-hmm. used to transactional relationships. Why would I waste my time on talking to anyone unless they had something to offer me? You know, like that yeah. is how I lived for 15 years before I came in here. If you didn't have money for me, bye. Like, there was just nothing nothing else of interest to me besides drugs and money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would just observe people for the most part and start to like understand like how they interacted with each other. And you know, I was really open about relapsing all the time. They always saw me picking up white key tags. And I think because of that, it was fairly easy for me to start gaining people's like trust or affection mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah.
And so you know, I built a network really quickly. The other thing I did was I went to meetings in all different areas on a regular basis because I wasn't working
mm-hmm.
for like the first year, or not working by a schedule anyway. So yeah, I would form relationships that way. And then I went into a women's recovery house and I lived there until I, you know, till we bought a house. And so there were always new women and I would have to learn boundaries and communication mm-hmm. with each and every one of them in yeah. order to keep my sanity, you mm-hmm. know, and keep peace in the household. So those are all things, like the biggest thing. And I you know, learn this from like CODA, especially. I'm about to look into ACA because that seems like a really good program that a few of my friends are doing right now.
That's adult children of addicts.
Alcoholics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I go to meetings like that and listen to their literature and read their literature on occasion, what I find out was like, these are the patterns I had before my addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's really powerful because, like, I came in with that and more, right? I came in with a lot of dysfunction. I had a lot of dysfunction even before I started using. Like, men were the priority. My girlfriends always took a backseat to whoever I was dating.
Mm-hmm.
It's antisocial behavior, man. And sorry, I don't know, my why my voice is doing this, but
it's early in the morning. We all get a pass.
It is early.
It's because it's the
truth. I was up eating queso until midnight. It's terrible.
You were the one that asked for this time.
I know. I don't mean to complain.
All right.
Yeah, so moving on.
That brings us to the next thing that you all kind of touched on a little bit, which is like your defects in relationships. So what defects do you know have come up or you struggle with when forming a relationship or maintaining a relationship through recovery or just in life in general? And we're going to swing it around back to you, Jessica.
So self-centeredness is the core of my disease, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the defects that come up, we're talking romantic relationships mostly, right?
Any relationship.
Oh, okay. Well, most of my defects come up in my romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. Because that's the closest one to me.
Mm. Well, Jack, I'm sure, brings
proximally.
Out he's 50% of the problem, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would like to think so. I don't feel like that's accurate, actually, but
maybe 10%.
Yeah. So I don't know. The main defects that come up for me are like rebellion, because like he's very, I don't want to say like a square because we're on. But he's very
structured.
He's like inside the box. Yeah, a lot of structure and discipline. And I've just never been wired that way. I'm more like creative and like out here. I've never had, I have not had too many jobs where I had like a set schedule. Like I just don't really operate that way. And he's very regimented. So like, I would like to think that, you know, that works for us, but occasionally I get rebellious.
What do you mean?
Is it because you get bored?
I think just like I always want him to sort of loosen up, and like he, another thing is like recovery wise, he's very like, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't even get close to that. I can tend to toe that line a little more. I can't think of a good example because I don't gamble. I don't do like a lot of the behaviors that he finds to be like high risk. But I have a different attitude about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am accepting, like if people want to use, like that's cool with me. Like, just like I don't feel like we should hold anybody up with what they want to do. You know what I mean? And I don't know, because he's working in harm reduction now. So I would say the main things that I guess we get into arguments about are like he's tired and I want to go out. And then I'm like, you don't need to go with me. And he's like, yeah, but I want to. I'm like, but, you know, just like... Mm-hmm. Simple stuff. I don't think that we have a lot of fights because he's so tolerant of me. Like, I'm not really on my best behavior most of the time. I don't, like, do a lot of, like, chores. Like, serious. And, like, I feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. But he, like, doesn't tend to, like, complain about it. But I know it. I know I could be doing better, you know. So, like, that's, like, an internal struggle of mine. And it's probably an external struggle of his also. But he tends to, you know, be really accepting. So what I can say is before I got back on my medication, it was not good. And he threatened to leave me several times. Because, like, my doctor said that my anxiety was so high. That's what causes, like, really high irritability, but I wasn't mm-hmm. able to catch anything coming out of my mouth. Yeah. It would just like
go. My life.
And it was like, it wasn't good. Like, I would just say like awful thing. I would like snap, you know, and he's, it was causing a lot of harm. The looks I would give him when I'm irritated, you know, just all of it.
You do have a death stare, for sure.
Look can be intimidating.
Yeah.
And in the moment, though, I would be like, what do you mean, look? Are you, like, hurt by my face? You know? And, like, so, like, it just, I was just being really ugly, and I couldn't even see it because all I was doing was, like, looking outward, like, mm-hmm. and just, like, reacting or, you know. So thank God I worked through that. And, you know, I think we're in a really harmonious place. Yeah.
Good.
Carly.
What about you, Carly?
What was the question? Defects in relationships? Yep,
defects in relationships.
I wish I would have known this before because I just answered this question Ooh, in my step work.
Perfect.
But I don't remember my answer. But I know I wrote like a good 14 defects in my relationships. Mm-hmm. So you should have let me prepare a little bit better. I know one I wrote down is perfectionism.
Oh, yeah.
That gets me in every single area of my life.
No.
Hey. the perfectionism, like what I expect from myself and then even what I expect from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can get in the way of me building authentic relationships. Mm. Because I am setting these unrealistic expectations, like I need to be the perfect wife or the perfect friend or a perfect sister or whatever it may be. And then in turn, I'm expecting the other people to do everything they're supposed to do in the relationship perfectly as well. So when mm-hmm. they're not doing that, there's a sense of disappointment, frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And then I build resentments because of that. And I've really noticed that a lot recently with Garrett.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's more so like how Jess said, the chores. Like I am on the flip side of that where I am doing everything.
Oh, I know.
And he is doing nothing. And instead of saying something, I just walk around the house being a bitch.
Ooh.
And there's this resentment building, like, you're not fucking doing anything. You're not helping me around the house. You're not helping me with Tucker. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And I'm just expecting more from him without telling him that I'm expecting those things. Mm. And it's causing some internal struggles right now.
Okay.
Not even right now, like all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Allie?
Hands down, control. I am a control freak. It's my way, because my way is right. My way works, and it's most efficient yes, all the time.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Tried. What is it? Tried. True.
Tried and true.
Yeah. Tried and true. So I, like, what I do is I acquire control of everything, mm-hmm. and then I get resentful because I am the one that has to do everything. And then I lash out because I am exhausted because I have put all of my effort into controlling every single aspect of everything. And then it's like I will like explode over like the dumbest shit, like something so small. And I just like lash out.
How could you ever lash out at Dan? Dan is like the least.
Do you want to, like, I feel like shit when I do, right?
Because leave I'm Dan
like,
alone.
Oh, I know.
Right? I don't know what, like, I don't see behind the scenes, yes. but like the Dan I know, I'm like, how could you ever blow up on that guy?
Well, that's what, yeah. And then I'm left sitting there like, I am a shitty person because my husband's a saint, right? Like he is a literal saint.
I'm not
saint.
Saying that.
But I mean, it's just, it's a struggle. Like my biggest character defect that I wrote on in my steps last time was control. And it's so hard to let it go because of that irrational fear that if I don't do it, it won't get done. It won't get done right. Mm-hmm. It won't get done correctly. So like trying to relinquish a little bit of control is very difficult. And like having faith, like my faith in other people and my trust in other people was so severed when I was using that I still haven't, I've been able to regain some of the faith, like restore it in some areas, like with friendships and with sponsees and with like the romantic physical side. Like I'm like, okay, my husband's not going to hit me. He's not going to cheat on me.
Yeah.
But like, is he going to pay the bill when I want him to, right? Like, is he going to pay how much I want him to? And so it's like those little things that like will just, you know, I'm like, no, I got to do it. I got to do it. And then I see Dan, like, I'm all stressed out, right? Because I got all this shit going on in my head. And Dan's just over there happy as can be, completely ignorant. And I'm like, blah, like, I'll just explode, like, over nothing. And it's a struggle. And it's just, like, this constant, like, ebb and flow of, like, okay, you do some. No, 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 I want it back. Okay, you do some. No, I want it back. So I guess, like, that's probably the area that I struggle with the most.
All right. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I want to rope Eric in real quick. What's your defect in relationships, Eric?
I don't have a mic, David.
I don't care.
We can still hear you. Just talk really loud.
Probably similar to what Allie was saying, the control.
Oh yeah.
But I'm giving that back. I'm getting better at the delegation side of it. Mm. So it's a work in progress. I gave MC control of the budget spreadsheet yesterday. So
did you say the budget spreadsheet?
Yes.
I hate you.
Yeah, I'm an adult, David. I know it's.
I'm
know,
sorry, I don't live on Excel. Asswipe.
Do you even Excel?
No, I don't. But I'm going to.
Do you know how to use Excel?
Yes, I know how to use
Excel. I don't Excel, so. The Pisces in me could never.
Thank you. Okay. Now, this is totally the guy in me, so this is a different question because you brought it up and you brought it up. And I think it's sort of a common thing between men and women is in a fight, a woman will be like, you should know why I'm upset. And they just, because you were like.
You can read our minds.
Yeah, we're supposed to read, we're supposed to read your fucking minds.
I've never had that happen before, by the way, dude. So,
that's because you suck, Eric. You're a robot.
I've never had anyone ever go like, you should know what I'm thinking.
Well, aren't you? Like, well, aren't you a saint?
Trope, see, you know what,
well,
I mean?
Like, I'm Eric, not sure the thing is like, I don't really come out and say it. That's just what goes on in my head. Like, he should know. He's a fucking idiot if he doesn't know.
Is that a female thing?
No, not with me. I will have power. Like, I will have bullet points. I will be like, okay, so the overall area of why I am pissed is because of this. But then, yes, right? There's a whole presentation. There's sub-points underneath the bullet points. I mean, like, it is like... And then at the bottom of all of that, it's really like, it's because I'm scared, okay? Like, right? Like, ultimately, that's usually what...
Right, as you're processing it yes. for yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Why like, you're really mad.
Yeah, but I will not have any problem telling Dan. Well, I mean...
But you said you hold it in for a little while.
Yeah, but like when he finally picks up on it or when I finally have my tipping point... Then I'm like, okay, this is what's going on. This is why I feel this way. I would never leave it up to Dan to figure it out because I don't.
He would never figure it out.
Correct. So, yeah.
No shade, Dan. We love you.
Yeah, I love you, Dan.
Okay, now to probably the difficult one: relationship with yourself, which is
oh, do we have to?
Oh yeah, we have to because hey,
but we don't.
It's, yes, we do.
It is the only relationship you're in for your entire life is the relationship with yourself. Well, not the only one technically, but we'll get to that. And that's family. That's our next bullet.
The
point.
One that's no, a constant that's throughout true. Your life.
Yeah. No matter where you go, no matter
you're stuck with yourself.
You're no matter where you go, no matter who is or is not in your life, whoever comes and goes, you're still with yourself.
Yeah.
So, Allie. Relationship
take five
with yourself.
On this one. Bring me back when the next question comes.
We can hopscotch. You can go third. Okay.
Why did you just put me on the chopping block like that? I felt so attacked.
I swung it around. Okay, right.
And technically, it really is probably my turn to go first.
It's okay. Do you want to go first?
I don't know. Breath?
You can go first.
I don't have much go to first. Say about it other than my relationship with myself sucks.
What was your okay? Well, what was your relationship while you were using versus how it's gotten better?
Okay, I can probably.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Relationship with myself then compared to now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
What?
I can see smoke coming out of your ears.
This is a tough one. I don't really want to go first, but I guess I will. Now I'm put on the spot to go. I don't really think the relationship with myself existed.
Ooh. Okay.
In active addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, probably because I did not give two shits about what happened to me,
mm-hmm.
or what I was doing to myself.
Yeah.
And then if I died, I died, and I really didn't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care. Like, I didn't care if I was hurting the people around me. I didn't care if I was hurting myself. I didn't care the consequences that came about. It was like, it is what it is. Whatever happens, happens type deal. And now I guess, I mean, it's still not the greatest relationship because
mm-hmm.
there's still a lot of things that I guess I lack, like self-confidence still lacking. There's still days where I don't love myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it has gotten better because at least I think now I can take into consideration my actions and how it affects me and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I've also learned to give myself a little bit of grace.
Yeah.
Got
to.
Even though when Allie always tells me to put the bat down.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten better in that sense. Like, I'm not always beating myself up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest improvement.
Yeah.
Like, there's still a long, long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But through others, like, kind of, I guess, loving me, I've been able to love myself a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of, I guess, where I'm at today. Like, if I fall short, I fall short. And I've learned that a lot, I think, too, in my line of work right now, too. Like, I can't leave every day, like, sitting there and thinking about what I could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fixate on it and I don't... It's not constructive.
Yeah, there's no forward progress.
So I'm getting a little bit better at that, and I think that's probably one of the most important things as well. Like, I'm able to kind of just let it go and be better than I was yesterday and accept that.
Yeah.
But then it still comes back into play is my perfectionism. Mm-hmm. So it's like... I don't war with that back and forth all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure that, like, I'm not having those expectations of myself. And when I do, like, being aware enough of myself to be able to take a step back.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Who's next? Who's jumping in?
I can go. You know, the steps really... I see love as an action word. I don't like when people are like, I love myself. I'm like, it depends on the day. Some days I don't do loving shit for myself.
Yeah, it's not just a blanket statement.
Yeah, some days I do. Like, the core, you know, like, I'm going to have self-hatred, like, at the core and, like, strive to do better on a daily basis, mm-hmm. right? Like, obviously, I know that I'm not, like, I do things to have self-esteem today. That's all I can really, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, either I do or I don't. The other day, like, I had a really depressive day. I did so by choice. I woke up at 6. I went back into bed at 10. I watched Grey's Anatomy for 2. You know, I did shit that, like, I knew was going to make me feel like shit by the end of the day and hate myself and overeat and all that. And I let myself have that day. You know, the difference is this self-awareness and doing the work, I think, and not expecting myself to love myself, not expecting other people to love me. Like, it's a given. Like, I'm so self-righteous and so entitled that, like, you know, at the core, I'm getting better with those things. But, like, at the core, that's just been my default setting, that I want the world to give me everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. So as I work through that, get heightened awareness, become willing to do something different and get something different and, like, continue on that path. Like, I by default get better, as we could say, but, like, on a daily basis, I think that's why they're, like, just for today, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, just for today, I can make a different choice
mm-hmm.
if I'm willing to.
Yeah.
You know, if I include God into my day, if I call someone on the phone, knowing that I isolate and that's like my default setting, I don't let myself do that shit. Even when I have a shitty day, I'm still going to call someone because it's like so hardwired in my routine. And that's the difference, is that the routine is different. Instead of getting up looking for a transactional relationship so that I can get my day started and live by default and numb myself throughout the day, today I do something different. I get up and, you know, do the opposite, basically. But yeah, every relationship takes maintenance just for today. 10th step is really important to my relationships.
Who is that? What? Is that you, Eric? Did a notification just come through?
It came through, but only we could hear that.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
Yeah, so love is an action word. That's what I'll say about that.
Fantastic.
Can you repeat the question?
Relationship with yourself.
Okay. So I like to think that since I stopped putting harmful substances in my body and I started listening to like the healthier side of my brain, the like internal chatter that was always so negative and so self-deprecating and just so hateful towards myself has lessened, right? So like in return, I have been able to learn to like, you know, tell myself like, oh, that went okay, right? Like, oh, like I didn't like make a complete ass out of myself. Now, like it's a, like Jess was saying, it's one of those things that it's like an ongoing process. Some days are better than most, but I like, for me, the more I do good or like the next right thing, the better I feel about myself in return. So like it's more so just maintaining that, I don't know, like mindset of not doing those things that I know are gonna like lead me down a dark path, but doing the things that like I necessarily might not want to do, but like I will benefit from, like going to a meeting, calling my sponsor, working on this or working on my steps, sharing about what's going on with me, like honestly, because you know it's so easy for me to act as if, right? Like I spent so much of my life acting as if everything was okay when I was dying inside, that it got me to a place, like a really dark place. And like the few times that I had the opportunity to say like, I'm not okay, and like receive help from like, you know, my friends or my family or even like however I got it, seeing the benefit of that, like it's made it easier over the years to be like, when I start to feel that way or when I start to want to isolate or like that negative chatter in my head is like really hard to get rid of, I'm like, oh, well, like this worked this last time, so let me try that again. But I definitely do not hate myself as much as I did when I used, because I'm not like harming myself. So like that's one benefit, but you know, also like learning how to like, I don't know, just like share where I'm at and what's going on with me, whether it's good or bad, because I think that in meetings sometimes people only share when it's bad and we don't share when it's good. So like we constantly are only like sharing negative, but like sometimes life is good. And if it's negative, I can like remember the good and be like, okay, if it was like that before, it'll be like that again. So yeah, just learning how to like shut that committee off that's in my head without using drugs, but with using like positive reinforcement, it's helped my relationship with myself get better.
And like one herbism that's always helped me, and he like told me since like day one, is the biggest way to boost self-esteem is to do esteemable acts. And all of you guys talked about that. And that goes back to the human connection piece, where I find that like a lot of the times helping others in recovery gives me more than necessarily it might give them. But here's what it is.
Being of service.
All right. And then the final bullet point I have
relationship
is
with higher power.
Relationship with higher power.
How did you
Very good.
Because I cheated like a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Looked at the thing.
So how important is it to develop your relationship with your higher power, and like, how do you, I don't know, access that or maintain that?
Me, I feel like you're looking
at anybody.
I can start. I think the main thing that helped me with this is when I came into recovery, I did get into a relationship right away, and he quickly sort of was like, you're not spending the night here. You stay at the women's house where you belong. Get with, you know, this and that.
where you belong.
And I was so, my entire life, I was like looking for validation from men and like making that quite clearly my higher power, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was only okay if I had a partner. And so through that process, and early on also, he went on vacation and I used, you know, and that's like a clear point that, you know, the higher power thing. So like my point is I had to learn how to self-soothe for the first time in my entire life, like in the basement, you know what I mean, by myself, going to bed like that every night. And so that's where God really comes into play for me from that early period, where it's like, it wasn't about like, I'm still alive. Like there is a God, like none of that shit. Mm-hmm. It was like, literally we're talking about like the relationship, right?
Yeah.
Part of it. So like, it started really early on where I found that I could lean on this power for good, like. And it all sounds so corny. I hate this topic. I don't like talking about it, right? And also because it's such an intimate thing
exactly.
to me.
It's so personal.
It's yeah. like, yep. I don't need to talk about it is how I feel because like, yeah. it's just between me.
Absolutely.
And the OG, right? But, nice. You know, that's where I found that I can be by myself and be okay. And that is through that relationship. And the other thing that was poignant that I can think of that I used to like berate him about to my girlfriends was that like when I would be crying or really upset and want a hug, he would be like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that some crazy shit? You don't do that to someone.
Yeah.
And it isn't until like way later that I started to understand that that really helped me, you know, because like I don't depend on him for like my I don't put like my emotional needs on another person today. And that was like such a painful thing for me to learn like how to do. And the biggest part of me taking responsibility for myself, because I was always able to provide for myself, right? But like that emotional piece, there was no where I started and where another person began, there was like nothing. It was like we were one person mm-hmm. with this one emotion at a time.
Yeah.
And like one, like really, mm-hmm. like I used to work with, you know, my partner, all this. It was just like, I'm the most codependent person. And that's been like a big part of my recovery is like working into something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm really a lot more capable of that today through just putting in consistent effort,
yeah.
you know, and that doesn't come until I have the heightened awareness to even know that it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like steps 1, 2, and 3, you know, and then carrying it out that way. Yeah, so relationship with my higher power. And then like now, like what happens to us in meetings, I think everyone shares the same experience that people, everything starts clicking and you go into that flow state where you get like, reminders throughout the day that you're in the right place, that you're doing the right things, that there are too many coincidences for this to be a coincidence, you know? And it doesn't mean there's some like fairy tale God or whatever. Like to me, it means that like you know, I'm aligned with the universe, like I'm in the thing, you know, and like prayer for me is important, and it's like self-affirmations, it's like seeking guidance, and there's humility in that for me. Like if I'm asking something else for guidance, mm-hmm. like I don't have all the answers all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right. And so like that gets me to a place where it helps me with my control issues, right? It brings me back to center. And it makes my life, it restores manageability to my life, man. And like, it's so easy to get out of that and put my emotions on someone else or mm-hmm. tell someone else their emotions are incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, I feel strongly about like the need for faith and sanity. And when I can get it back through that relationship, all of a sudden the sun fucking comes out and like I don't want to hurt anyone anymore, you know. It's like very simple, but because I get in the way of it, you know, it that's where the that's where I create my own problems, right? So I'll pass with that.
All right,
I think we should just end there because that was a fantastic answer.
It really was. It was very good, but we can't, sorry, keep okay. going.
Tried.
Nope, swing and a miss.
Let's go the other way.
Okay, Allie.
Damn. Okay. well, I was over here like, I don't know, the fact that I didn't die when I was using, and then just attacked that answer.
So, yeah, like, she clapped that back real
like,
quick.
Damn, I have to really dig and yep. like get honest and open up. And, you know, that's not always easy for me. I just like to do like surface shit and keep all the good stuff to myself. And honestly, that's so probably the core
seems
of
like,
my control,
using
right?
behavior. Yes.
Hmm. Oh, wow, attack my character a little bit more, guys. Jeez. At least I'm aware. I was about to say some. At least I'm aware of it today. But oh God, like my relationship with my higher power is it's definitely been like strengthened these past couple years, just because I've been asked to do a lot of things that are like way out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's been like, if I really look back and go all the way back to the beginning, that's been the case since I've been clean. Like I had to get so stretched outside of my comfortable zone that like I am now like a totally new person.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jess was saying, just to kind of like piggyback off of that, you know, like when I do let go and I do relinquish that control, like shit does get done and mm-hmm. it is okay.
Yeah.
But like my need to control and my anxiety makes me want to think that like, and my lack of humanity, right? Like lack of faith in humanity, it makes me not have that good of a relationship with my higher power. Even though like the evidence is there and I have like so many instances and occurrences where like it's been so freaking evident, I forget, right?
Yeah.
Like I totally forget that like there's this being out there that like loves me and cares for me. And there's a fox outside the window, guys. I just want to do all the
guardian fox.
Yeah. And like that's how like my higher power speaks to me is through like nature, right? Mm-hmm. Like nature has two sides and it can be really fucking ugly and brutal and like cold and rigid, but it could also be really beautiful and mm-hmm. Just like compassionate and loving. And you know, I like that's basically been my story, right? Like when I use and when I live in my own self-destructive ways, it's painful, it's ugly, it's like self-seeking, it's me against the world, it's rigid. But when I'm like, when it's me and my higher power, it's like abundance and sun and like I don't hate everyone.
Yep.
And everything, and I can see the clouds and I can feel the wind, and it's just so much more comforting.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like I gotta do the work to stay in that place with my higher power. You know, like when I was using, like there were so many times that like shit could have just went so much worse, right? Like
oh,
I did
yeah.
some stuff that was
it
like,
was bad and it could have been worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Or like it could have, the outcomes could have been just completely different. And like when I think about, I mean, like, you know, overdosing and like questionable situations that like I, you know, harm really could have happened, and like the harm that did happen, you know, being able to somehow bounce back from that, you know, yeah, I just man, I'm like sitting here like having this self-revelation that like, okay, so my control is me, letting go is God. And like I just, yeah, I guess maybe by me strengthening my relationship with my higher power, in turn, I will strengthen my relationship with myself and with other people. Ooh. Right? Like they're directly related.
There it is.
Yeah, they're like directly related. So I guess if like I'm having trouble in my my marriage,
and that was the defect you brought up
too. Yeah, exactly. So if I'm having issues in my marriage or with myself or with my coworkers or with my family, like it's probably not an issue with them. It's the issue is the relationship with me and my higher power. So yeah, so I'm just gonna sit on that for a little bit and
you just blew your own fucking mind.
I'm just like, man, I'm just like, wow, how did we get here? How did I get here? All right, so take it away, Carly.
That was great, Allie.
Mm-hmm. Relationship with a higher power, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I have always had a belief in a higher power, mm-hmm. but not always a relationship with one.
Yeah.
So I was raised Catholic. So for years and years and years, was shoved down my throat this idea of one God
mm-hmm.
and this certain belief system and things of that nature. But it wasn't really a relationship because there was always like, oh, well, God's punishing you or God's doing this or God's doing that. So it wasn't ever this loving relationship. It was like this unbalanced.
Yeah. It's a transactional relationship.
Yes. Dictatorship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can I appease you?
Right? Like, oh, I'm
give me a good harvest.
I didn't make a good decision. I'm being punished. Or like,
how many Hail Marys did you say?
You could have done that better.
Yeah, right.
Have you said any Our Fathers this morning? I think you should.
No.
Probably seven.
I'm going to say 10. 10 yes. and 10.
Ten. Yep, 10 and 10. Get out your beads.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Okay, so your transactional
I don't know where
your transactional relationship. You did not have
your
a
dictatorship.
Dictatorship.
Yeah. So when and like I a while ago I stopped having that belief in general. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was probably out of anger. Like, oh well, if this and this and this is going to happen in my life, then fuck you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So coming into recovery, it was a little difficult to try to grasp this idea of a higher power when all I've ever known is this like spiteful thing that I was taught that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't do this, then you sinned and you're going to die and you're going to go to hell.
Oh, God.
So trying to have a relationship with the higher power was like, okay, I know that there's something greater than myself, but it's never been this loving relationship. So how am I expected to like have something?
Mm-hmm.
But through recovery and like seeing, like hearing other people's experiences is like, okay, well, there's not just that one God that you were taught about for your whole entire life. And that helped me really become just kind of open to the concept.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've learned that I don't really have to put a name or a face or an idea to. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of there.
Yep.
And kind of like what Allie was talking about with control. Like I've learned that through having a relationship, like it's not something like I can let go and things will run its course and
mm-hmm.
I don't have to be in control of every situation or every little thing.
Yeah.
And it's okay not to be.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I base my relationship on with my higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so just like that whole, like it's been a complete 180 from what I've was taught, what I was raised on, what
mm-hmm.
I experienced throughout my whole entire life. And like now just trying to grasp that new concept has been, it's been difficult, but it has been beneficial and it has been eye-opening. And just to like be able to branch out and not be told what I have to believe.
Yes.
Has just, I think, made like most of the difference.
Absolutely. And one of the like things I learned and was turned on through like recovery and like Buddhist beliefs and teachings and practices, whatever, is that whatever it is, God or the universe or whatever, it's not necessarily good or bad things happening. It's just things happening. Mm-hmm. And we as people like to attach it to either good or bad instead of really just actually removing the emotion from the situation and figuring out how to really process and then move forward depending on whatever circumstances are presented with us. Because maybe it's like, oh, this was the series of events and this is what happened. It's not necessarily good. It's not necessarily bad. It's just, this is what's here now. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So it's just all about how you look at things. And I want one more quick one. The importance of female relationships in recovery, because I know and I've seen it's a struggle for women early in recovery because, like, dudes are idiots. Like, dudes are dudes. They come into recovery like, oh, what's up? You like sports too? Awesome. Let's hang out. Let's talk about recovery. And it's really easy for guys to make
I resent that, David, by the way.
Nobody's talking to you. You don't have a microphone. Nobody's talking.
Wait, he still has a voice, David. Let him speak.
No, he's the man behind the curtain now. No, when I ask the fucking questions here.
You asked him a question earlier.
I know. I'm sorry. I love you, Eric. And I hate you. But Eric, you agree, like on some level, like it is easier for guys to make relationships.
It's easier for us to make relationships with other men.
In recovery.
In recovery and out of recovery, I think. But I think the oversimplification.
Yes, it's an oversimplification. Like,
oh my God.
Yes, I know sports? We're not all cavemen.
I watch sports.
Shut up.
Oh my God, let's talk about sports. Like, I just think that's,
like, we didn't bond over
sports. All right.
Okay, moving on. Hey, okay, sorry. Know.
Bring
sorry.
It back.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry. Women's relationships. So how did you get over that animosity, and like, how can you guys empower women and bring women together in recovery and realize that you guys aren't competing anymore and you're all on the same team, and you don't have to, like, I don't know, hate each other,
call each other's eyes out. Yes.
By starting a meeting called Empowering Women. That's ooh. All
I did that on purpose. That was a good plug. Well. That was a good. I know. I set you up. That was. I know. But it was organic. It was an organic plug.
It felt good. It was a good feel.
So how do you empower women? How do you empower yourselves to really cherish the female relationships that you might not have had?
I can start with this one because my relationship with my mom has always been contentious. But when I moved into that women's recovery house, I had no choice. And what I found was, like, the behaviors and the things that I was seeing in other women and, like, not liking too much, right? Like, being super judgy, like, really just, like, zoned in and focused on everyone else. I started to see that, like, those things were me, too. You know, so, like, that was my first indication that I was sort of in the right place, that women understood me more than men could. And sort of going from there and getting those first few relationships under my belt, and understanding that, like, for the most part, even the gossip stuff and whatever, I don't really care what people think of me or what any of that. I feel like we come here to be honest, and then it gets, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, an intent there. Are we trying to hurt someone? To me, that's gossip. But through, like, sharing as a house and those types of things, I started to get in with the idea that, like, regardless of any cattiness, we largely want the best for each other, understand each other the most. And sort of when there's conflict, there's usually a lot of projection that's coming with it, you know, where it's like, I'll put my stuff on someone else, or I'll look at them and see myself in them and get mad about it. You know what I mean? And that's sort of like the things I've started to understand and look out for. And like the bottom line for me now is that I don't want to cause any harm. I don't want to have any beef with anybody because I'm trying to keep a clean spirit, and that's it, and that's all. So, like, I find a reason to forgive the unforgivable, you know, like, I find a way to do that in recovery because my life depends on it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be out here. I will not have a resentment. I just won't. I'll figure out a way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my relationship with women is much stronger today than, you know, honestly, probably it's different than my marriage, right? It's just a different relationship. I think that if I got divorced, I would still have my relationship with the women in my life,
mm-hmm.
and that would carry me through. Like, it's not, those relationships are really important. And those are the relationships in my daily life, you know. So, yeah, I'll pause with that.
Who's next?
I'll go. I think, like, for me personally, my relationships with women are more, like, more important than my relationship with men because, like, biologically, men and women are different. So mm-hmm. we're going to have different experiences, like, throughout life, throughout recovery, throughout whatever. Like, mm-hmm. maybe even growing up, right? Like, our experiences are going to be completely different. So having someone that, you know, is wired like me, thinks like me, has experienced some of the same things that I've experienced is that much more comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Having someone that I can, like, go to and, like, share, like, the good, the bad, the ugly, all that stuff. It's important. I mean, like, I grew up, I have a sister that's 16 months, we're 16 months apart. So she was basically like my twin growing up. So I always had that relationship with someone else. And, it's just so comforting to know that, like, mm-hmm. no matter what goes on, I can share it with her or, like, other women. And, like, just getting that different perspective, right? Because, like I said earlier, I like to think that my way is right. My way is the best way. And, like, I know I have all the answers. And when I, share stuff with other people, like, especially a woman, like, she could give me a completely different perspective that I never would have came to that conclusion on my own.
Yeah.
And it's just easier, right? It's just, like, more, I don't know, like, it's just, it's, I don't want to say, like, it's natural.
It's a different, like, dynamic.
It
entirely.
Is. Yeah. It's a different feel. It's a different mm-hmm. relationship. It's a different connection.
Yes.
I'll just say that. And there's no, like, platonic. Like, I've had so many male friends throughout the years that it was platonic, but there's always that weird level of, like,
there's,
like,
always something.
Yes, exactly.
There's some sort of percentage of weirdness.
Yes, or, like, somebody else is going to bring their opinion into this situation and make it weird. So, like,
dude, how many times has that happened to us, Carly?
Yeah.
So many fucking times.
So, like, with my...
I mean, it's kind of weird, guys.
See? And, you know, prime example.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. But, like, you know, with, like, your female friends, like, I don't know. There's, like, nothing more. Like, I don't know how guys are, but, like, women empowering women is powerful, right?
Yes.
Like, women building up other women is powerful.
Yep.
And I don't know how it is for guys, but, like, it's just a very powerful thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that we need more of it because I know me personally, I spent so many years, like, dragging other women down and just, like, disregarding other women's feelings that, like, knowing now I can turn that around and kind of, like, build other people up and help them, like, achieve their dreams and see how beautiful they really are and achieve their goals or even, like, discover what they are, right? Like, it's just, I don't know, it's important for me. And it's something that, like, I had with my sister, but I didn't really have it with any outside people.
Yeah.
Or if I did, like, when I was using any long-term friendship with a female, when the push came to shove and it was like, it's me or the drugs, like, you guys already know who went, right?
Yeah.
And there was, like, no, like, even though it hurt me to my core, like,
Bye, Felicia.
Exactly.
There was a push and a shove.
Yeah, there was a push and a shove. Like, several broken nails.
Yeah, so, but I, like, for some reason along the tracks of me using, I thought that, like, I'd never have those friends again. So, mm-hmm. like, to be able to connect with women again in, like, the recovering setting is, I don't know. It's just, it's one of the most important things. Probably up there with, like, my higher power and self. I mean, it's like,
yeah, totally.
The hierarchy, I guess, would be, like, self, God, society, I guess, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Like, but
women, not
I society. Need all three of those, yeah. right? For yeah. in order to be whole.
Totally. Okay.
So, in order to have the scales balanced.
Also, fuck the patriarchy.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost bought a key tag that said
What?
I almost bought a key tag that said fuck the patriarchy.
Why didn't you do that?
I don't know. It felt like an impulse buy, and I was like, oh, I said I don't really need, but I guess I do need it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Should probably go back and buy
I know.
It.
And it seemed like I was mocking you, but I wasn't. I have four sisters, and I'm.
I know. Yeah, I know. David, you got strong female energy. Like, thank no you. Offense, but like.
Yeah. I don't take offense to that. Okay, don't right. say a fucking word, Eric. Eric, don't say a fucking word.
David, you're basically one of us. Just
thank you.
Yes. Certainly cries like
oh, that's...
Hey, that's a blow at both of us, Eric.
That's
so
rude.
Yeah.
David's just a little sensitive and it's okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with thank being you. Sensitive.
So building relationships with women. I know that's been... Yeah.
Oh, intense yep. eye roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Super intense eye roll.
It's been work and recovery for you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
It's okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's okay. Share where you're at.
Ooh. Love you. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Do you want me to move on? Okay. Well, all right. I think that's about all the time we have. So I would love to thank all three of our amazing women for joining us today.
Woo! Yeah!
Allie, Carly, Jess, you did a fantastic job. And here at Podcast Recovery, we're aiming to expand the scope of support for recovering addicts. Accessibility and convenience of helpful services is paramount to combating addiction. We work to bring the message of recovery to every addict, wherever and whenever it is needed. We believe that a powerful voice of recovery should be obtainable, practical, and at the touch of a button. Every addict deserves to hear a message of hope, and Podcast Recovery is here to provide it. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Go to all of our social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Like, share, subscribe if you'd like to become a part of the Podcast Recovery family, because we are self-sustaining and need help keeping the mics on. Go to our Patreon. Please throw us a few hay pennies or shekels or whatever you have lying around to help us out. It is deeply appreciated. But most importantly, everybody out there, Carly,
stay safe and stay clean.